You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned into another fantastic edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 today to create your your PremierBet account now. I'm your host, Handel. I'll be with you until 8 p.m. this evening, coming to you live from our studio in Windhoek. And today, on your favorite sports talk show, we are going to talk about, or we're going to discuss, or figure out, is Namibia ready to co-host the African Cup of Nations? Why do we ask this question? Because of some news that came out over the weekend, but we will get to that in just a moment. As usual, you're tuned into your number one talk radio station. If you haven't already, download our fantastic, fantastic mobile application so that wherever you are in the world, wherever you are, even in Namibia, if you're on the go, Eagle FM can be right by your side. Simply download the Eagle FM mobile application for free on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Free to download, and you have access to your favorite shows wherever you go in the world. So welcome to everyone listening to us from all around the world and on the application. You will come across a beautiful digital rotating billboard that will give you access to all kinds of information, whether that's constitutions, all kinds of economic reports. Everything you need to become a smarter citizen of the world is right there for you on the Eagle FM mobile application, on that digital billboard that I'm talking about. And you will see some instructions on how you can access these documents. Simple instructions such as click here to access the document. And also, if you don't have the Eagle FM mobile application, maybe you're listening to us from your computer, or you want to listen to us from your computer, visit our website at www.eaglefm.com.na. And like the mobile application, there is a section titled the podcast section. That means if you happen to have missed last week's Eagle Sports Zone, or you missed last month's Eagle Sports Zone, or you remember a particular guest that was on the Eagle Sports Zone, you know, we had many fantastic guests last year. We're talking all the way from the Minister of Sport. We're talking all the way from Jacques Berger. We're talking about photographers of the year. Almost every CEO of every federation in the Namibian sporting world and beyond have all taken a seat here on the Eagle Sports Zone. So if you'd like to listen to those, go to the podcast section, type in the Eagle Sports Zone, and you will have access to any show, and you can listen to it whenever you want. And that counts for every show that you hear on Eagle FM. So if you missed my co-worker's Abigail show that happened just before me now, go to the podcast section. It'll be there for you. If you missed Mind the Gap from a particular day that you're looking for, go to the podcast section, type in the show, and it will be there for you. And of course, follow us on all our social media pages as well, Eagle FM Namibia. Now today's trivia question, of course, has to be AFCON related, seeing that the final is tonight between between Morocco and Senegal. The host Morocco up against the Lions of Teranga. So today's trivia question is, can you tell me how many African Cup of Nations tournaments have they been, including the 2025 edition that is about to end this evening? And bonus points, can you guess the year of the very first African Cup of Nations? One more time, how many African Cup of Nations tournaments have they been, and can you guess the year of the very, very first AFCON? The number in the studio is 0832-88401, 0832-88401. If you'd like to call and answer the trivia question, contribute to the program in any way, shape, or form, I will accommodate all callers. I see we already have someone knocking on the door. Do call back. Maybe your airtime finished. Top up and come back to the Eagle Sports Zone. But before we get into our topic of the day, as usual, we'll start with some local sporting news. We will start in the cycling world, where the Nedbank Windhoek Pedal Power Series continued this weekend. This time they were at Teufelsschlucht, The second of six editions of the Window Pedal Power Series took place this weekend. And some results that I can share with you, probably to no one's surprise, in the team category was none other than the man himself, Jigis Katia, finishing in first, riding a four Hollard Insurance. Coming in second was, this is now the male category, coming in second was Ingram Koof, who rides for Hollard Life. And coming in third was Theans van der Vesthuizen, who is Jigis' teammate, coming in third. The young phenom Roger Surin finished in fourth, also riding for Hollard Insurance. Quite a stacked team that Hollard Insurance have been able to assemble. On the women's side of things, in the elite women's category, Olympian Vera Lusa finished in first, with Henri Krugel finishing in second, and Maya Brinkman finishing in third. The young rider, young phenom on the women's side as well, Delcia Jansen van Vuren, finished in fourth. Our very own, who has been a guest here on the Eagle Sports Zone, Olivia Shililifa, finished in fifth. So making some good headway there for Olivia. In the under 16 boys category, you had Micah Chase coming in first, Francois Van Sale coming in second, and York Arends coming in third. Under 16 girls, Joadri De Beer coming in first, Asha Costa coming in second, and Madam Shanika coming in third in the under 16 girls category. And of course, the categories go on and on to under 12, under 14, but another successful ride for the local Namibian cyclists who participate in the Windhoek Pedal Power Series. Moving along, we're going on to the Cricket World. Those of you that might not know, Namibia is currently co-hosting the ICC Men's Under 19 Cricket World Cup, happening at the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground here in Windhoek. Unfortunately, Namibia did not qualify for the World Cup. But the likes of Zimbabwe are in the tournament, Tanzania is in the tournament. So far, most teams have played one match. Tanzania lost to the West Indies by 5 wickets. Some other African teams that have played so far. South Africa has played against Afghanistan. Afghanistan won that by 28 runs. Then we have Zimbabwe. They played against England. England took that one by 8 wickets. And they had 132 balls remaining. And we will have an all-African clash coming up on Monday. That will be South Africa against Tanzania. Beginning at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. So the Under-19 Cricket World Cup is well underway. And if you do find yourself in the capital, entrance is completely free. So if you'd like to attend and watch some youthful cricket, some of the next cricket stars, some of the next global cricket stars performing right here in the capital city of Namibia. And Namibia is co-hosting the tournament with Zimbabwe as well. So moving on to local football, the Namibian football calendar is at least scheduled on paper to return on the 30th of January. That is with the round 6 fixtures. The full list of fixtures is actually out. But as I said last week, we currently do not know if the league will continue or not. But for now, on paper, the league will continue on the 30th of January. And the reason I say we don't know if it will continue or not is because, if you recall, we had Mr. Isaac Imata, NFA spokesperson, on the Eagle Sports Zone when it was announced that the government, through lobbying from a Deputy Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth Sports, Arts and Culture, Dino Balotti, was able to convince or to put it forward for the government to assist the NFA with some millions to put on to bring back local football after the NFA and its previous title sponsor for the local top flight football league could not come in agreement to continue that partnership. And so Mr. Hamata explained to us that this money that was received was enough to at least put on the first round of matches. And now with the second round of matches coming, I cannot confidently tell you how the second round of matches are going to take place, but time will tell. And hopefully we will be able to see a full local footballing season, especially since the table has been pretty tight at the top and at the bottom. So hopefully we'll be able to continue this exciting season of local football. Moving on to the rugby side of things. In Sevens Rugby, a Namibian Invitational side participated at the Wits Barrier Sevens Rugby Tournament in Ceres, where they were eliminated in the quarterfinals by the host, the Wits Barbarians, by a score of 33-12. The Barbarians, if those of you that are rugby lovers might remember that the Barbarians won the Angles Valley Sevens Cup back in October last year in Windhoek. And the Namibians actually won all their group matches but failed to advance past the quarterfinal stage, coming up against a solid, solid Wits side. In more local news, the Commerce Regional Champions took place. This is athletics now we're talking about, over at the infamous Independence Stadium. Some of the results that we received is UNAM's Jade Nangula won the women's 400-meter dash, whereas Namibia Correctional Services middle-distance runner Ase Nanukaku won the 1,500-meter race. And that is all we have in terms of local sporting news. The local sporting calendar starting to kick up as the weeks go by. More and more sports will join the 2026 sporting activities. Football being one of them, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. But now let's head on to the international football scorelines. Almost forgot to play our favorite jingle for this segment.
Who won? Who scored? What was the final score? The Eagle Sports Zone Score Roundup is brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Visit premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to sign up and win big now.
Yes, this is the Premier Bet Score segment. And we will start with, let's start with the English Premier League, where we had a round of 22 take place, and the weekend started off with a Manchester derby, where it was the Red Devils up against the Blue Citizens. Manchester United's former player as well, Michael Carrick, taking charge of the side following the sacking of Portuguese manager Ruben Amorim. Carrick, who was previously a caretaker manager as well and a former player, of course, managed to lead the Red Devils into a 2-0 victory over Manchester City. A surprise to many. I know we have a few Manchester City supporters listening. I'd love for you to call in and tell me what your thoughts were on the fixture, what went wrong, maybe what do you think went right for the Red Devils. But they won that 1-2, 2-0, thanks to goals from the Cameroonian man himself, back from the African Cup of Nations, Brian Mbeumo. And youngster Patrick Dorgu each scored in the second half of that fixture. And that result, at least momentarily, had put Manchester United in the top four. They are now fifth on 35 points, 1 point behind the defending champions Liverpool, who are in fourth on 36. Manchester City failed to close the gap on the Gunners, who currently have a 7-point lead over Manchester City, even though they drew to Nottingham Forest 0-0 yesterday evening. Chelsea beat Brentford 2-0, thanks to goals from new signing João Pedro and a penalty, second half penalty from Cole Palmer. Tottenham continued their poor form by losing 2-1 to West Ham United. And the fixture remaining today is Aston Villa up against Everton. Aston Villa, who are in third place on the table, level on points with Manchester City. So they have the opportunity. If they don't lose, they will go second in the table behind the Gunners. So the title is, at the moment, in the hands of the Gunners. Let's see if they will be able to see it through. And of course, we also had some Bundesliga action. Bayern continuing their dominance by beating Leipzig 5-1. Borussia Dortmund against São Paulo. Dortmund taking that one 3-2. And Bayer Leverkusen losing 1-0 to Hoffenheim. Bayern lead the table by a remarkable 11 points. Still haven't lost a league fixture. They're on 50 points, with Borussia Dortmund on 39 points in second place. Third place, we have Hoffenheim on 33, and rounding off the top four is Stuttgart on 33 points as well. They are currently in action against Union Berlin, with the score being 1-1. Moving over to La Liga over in Spain, where we had round 20 take place. Real Madrid played against Levante, beating them 2-0, following the departure of former player Xabi Alonso. And now Raul Albiol, also former player, is now in charge of the side to the end of the season. Kylian Mbappe and Raul Asensio were on the scoreline for the Madridistas. And we have Barcelona taking on a Real Sociedad this evening at 10 p.m. And that table, Barcelona leads currently on 49 points, 1 point ahead of Real Madrid. Barcelona with the game in hand that they will play this evening. In third place is Villarreal on 41 points, and in rounding off the top four is Atletico Madrid on 39 points. Lastly, we move over to Italia, where we had Juventus took on Cagliari, lost that 1-0. Napoli beat Sassuolo 1-0, and Inter beat Udinese 1-0. Typical Italian football scorelines there, tight matches, close defenses. Inter leads the table on 49 points, AC Milan on 43, Napoli on 43 as well, and rounding off the top four is the old lady, that is Juventus, on 39 points. So that's what we have in terms of scorelines, major football scorelines in our favorite leagues. And after this brief commercial break, we'll get closer and closer to our topic, which is about Namibia hosting the African Cup of Nations, potentially hosting the African Cup of Nations. We will be right back after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 now to create your Premier Bet account. It's not too late to still make some winnings from the African Cup of Nations, with the final taking place this evening at 9 p.m. local time, with Morocco, the hosts, taking on Egypt. Now, if you follow our social media pages, we did ask you guys to give us your input in terms of who you think is going to win this evening, whether it's going to be Senegal or Morocco. And you guys did come through actually with a lot of comments, a lot of opinions. So I will read some of them out. If you're listening, thanks for chiming in. We have Daniel Sima, who said Senegal is going to win 1-0. Homoto Makwana came through, said Senegal is going to win 2-1. Mr. Kennedy Itana said, only if you know soccer, you know that Morocco is going to win. Madam Hendrina Onyahompa came through and said, for the love of Africa, I support all but Senegal. Because being a fan is a problem, is what she said. Peterson Elago said Morocco is going to win on penalties. Etuna Usiku said, congratulations to Senegal in advance. Hafeni Olembe came through and said, Morocco has a very weak striking force compared to Senegal. So I think Senegal will win 2-0. And one more I want to read out is Stain Simata, who said, if this match is to be officiated fairly, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, if this match is to be officiated fairly, Senegal will be crowned the kings of Africa. But from what we have seen throughout the tournament, that Morocco, they have been favored by match officials. They might win as well. That is the opinion of Mr. Stain Simata. He's not the only one that shares this opinion. Call in, let me know who you think is going to win or who you would like to win between the final tonight between Morocco and Senegal. Both sides actually have one AFCON title to their name. Morocco last won the AFCON back in 1976. If anyone that was listening was alive, tell us what happened in that fixture. And Senegal, of course, their title is more recent, having won theirs in 2021 on penalties against Egypt. Now, I said we're going to talk about... before that, actually, let's talk about the prize money. Let's talk about the prize money before we get to the statement. So the winner of this year's AFCON tournament will receive a cash prize of $7 million, while the runner-up will receive $4 million, and each of the semifinalists got $2.5 million. And the quarterfinalists received a cash prize of $1.3 million, and Nigeria finished third this year in the third place playoff that took place yesterday. The match ended 0-0 against Egypt, but the Super Eagles beat Egypt 4-2 on penalties. And now, fun fact, it's actually the ninth time that the Super Eagles have finished third at the African Cup of Nations. They have 9 bronze medals at the African Cup of Nations. So again, more proof that Super Eagles are one of the powerhouses of African football. But as I said, we're going to talk about a complaint that the Senegalese Football Association filed to Morocco, in which they made complaints about the way that the team were being treated in Morocco ahead of the final this evening against Morocco. In the statement, the federation criticized the lack of security arrangement for the team's arrival in Rabat, problems with the team's accommodation, issues with training facilities, and difficulties in getting a fair ticket allocation for its supporters. So the Senegalese FA called on CAF to immediately take every corrective measure to guarantee respect for the principles of fair play, equal treatment, and security indispensable for the success of this celebration of African football. And they also say that the lack of security for the team's arrival in Rabat exposed the players and technical staff to overcrowding and risks incompatible with the standards of a competition of this magnitude and the prestige of a continental final. The federation also claims that it notified CAF of this, of its categorical refusal to hold team training sessions at the Mohamed complex, which is also where the Morocco team has been based for the whole tournament. So the Senegalese FA is making, I don't know if you can call it accusations or complaints, but they wrote an official statement to CAF, and you can actually see on social media in the videos of the Senegalese team arriving in Rabat. You know, it looked like they were arriving in Vernon Mall on a payday, just surrounded by the public, no security, nothing. It was quite, I've never seen anything like that, honestly. So I can understand where they're coming from. And also this whole story about the team being refused to train and so on. It's unfortunate to hear. And lastly, also, they said that in the stadium that where the final will be played, that holds 69,000 seats, the Senegalese FA says that their fans were only given the opportunity to purchase 2,000 out of the 69,000 available seats. Percentage-wise, that's under 5%, 2.9 to be exact. So if that is true, CAF definitely has to look into that. But it adds to the, I don't know if I can call it stain, but it adds to the, to some of the bad vibes that have been reported about the 2025 African Cup of Nations. And it also adds to this whole, you know, this African Cup of Nations, probably more than any other before, you know, this has always been a sort of more of a banter thing, you know, between supporters, between Egyptians and Nigerians and so on. But this time around, because the tournament is happening in North Africa, the, how can I say, the social tensions between North Africa and the rest of Africa have been very evident throughout this tournament. I mean, all the way from people accusing referees of favoring North Africans. Now we're seeing the Senegalese FA saying, like, look how we're being cheated in this tournament, and so on. So it has definitely added fuel to that fire. And something that has also added fuel to this fire, you know, we always say on the Eagle Sports Zone that sport is a reflection of society. Our favorite quote on the show, we always say that here. And those of you that have been, that are plugged into the internet world, you will know about a internet streamer, a young man from America who is currently on a tour of Africa. And over the weekend, his tour took him to North Africa. He went to Egypt and went to Algeria. And in Algeria in particular, he had experienced some issues in Egypt as well, but in Algeria in particular, he was trying to watch a local football match. They were throwing water bottles at him, calling him all kinds of names. There's a video of him being called the N-word by, I would assume, an Algerian. So, you know, like we said, sport is a reflection of society. The things we see in society, we also end up seeing in the sporting world. And I think this 2025 African Cup of Nations has been an example of that, slightly on the negative side, but nonetheless an example of it still. And of all the CAF awards that took place this year, for those of you that may have not followed the CAF awards, of the 10 awards that were handed out at the CAF Awards, we had Player of the Year went to Achraf Hakimi. He's from Morocco. Women's Player of the Year went to Ghislaine Chebbak from Morocco. Goalkeeper of the Year, Yassine Bonu from Morocco. Young Player of the Year, Othman Mama from Morocco. Women's Young Player of the Year, Doha El Madani from Morocco. Women's Interclub Player of the Year, Sana Mossi from Morocco. Women's Coach of the Year, Lamia Boumedi from Morocco. Women's Club of the Year, ASFAR from Morocco. And the Men's National Team of the Year went to the under 20 Morocco side. So Morocco did a clean sweep at the awards. Probably deservedly so. I mean, considering how Morocco has been developing in the football landscape on the men's and women's side. I mean, let's not forget, Morocco made it to the semifinals of the previous World Cup. First African side to do so. But, yes. I think even that, from what I saw from the discourse, even that people were saying, like, come on, like, how is it possible that they're sweeping everything? But the truth generally might be that they deserve these awards. I'm not gonna pretend like I was closely following under 20 football and, you know, women's club football and things like that. But now, I would like us to listen to the president of CAF in the closing media press conference for the tournament. Some things were said in this press conference, So I'd like us to listen to around the 10 minutes or so of this press conference, of this briefing. And we'll get into the comments. We'll dissect them after we hear exactly what was said. And don't forget, you can chime in at any time at 0832-888-401. And that's 0832-888-401. Don't forget our trivia question of the day. How many African Cup of Nations tournaments have there been, including the one that is concluding tonight? And bonus points. Bonus points. Can you tell me the year? The year that the very first AFCON took place. A hint, I don't think anyone that, okay, I'll take that back. A hint is that it happened a very long time. It took place a very long time ago. But let's take a listen to the CAF president, none other than Mr. Patrice Motsepe.
Smiling, but you know, a smile sometimes can be a loud smile. Let me tell you. I'm clear in my mind. I have to be in a much better situation in this new dispensation than I was in the previous dispensation. And the numbers and the figures don't lie. And the facts don't lie. Because I can have my own interpretation, say it's wonderful, it's good, but if the facts and the numbers and the data doesn't support it, then it's incorrect. So what's going to happen? We only had one competition that really made money. I want a competition every year, every year, every year. At this stage, with the exception of the year when there's a World Cup, and we're also looking at that to even have a competition in that year. Now, the AFCON is about, it used to be 20 nations and we increased it to 24. Every year, I'm going to have 54 nations in Africa. Not 24, like in the AFCON. 54. 54. And unlike what happened in the past, I'm going to have the best African players who play in Europe. We are proud of them. The best African players who play in America, proud of them. In Asia, in South America, they're going to be part of this competition every year in Africa. Now, how much do I pay for the AFCON? I think when I became president, the first price was maybe 4 million or something. 4 million, and I immediately increased it to 5. I don't know where the 5 was going to come because we owed $150 million at the time. And then increased it again to 7 for Cote d'Ivoire and increased it again to 10. And I'm excited because I know some of those players, not the ones who play in Europe, the ones in Africa, if they get significant money, some of that money goes into their pockets. And that's what we want. So part of my objective is to make sure that in every sense, the African Nation League competes with AFCON. I don't want one fishing rod to try and catch fish for me.
I'll let Mr. Motsepe continue. He actually corrected me earlier when I said the prize money was 7 million. As he said, now they upped it to 10 million, the highest in history and more than double what he found when he took over. So Senegal or Morocco have the chance to win 10 million US dollars. Let's continue to what he had to say.
In the sea. I want, you know, the AFCON fishing rod was once every 2 years. I'm going to have a fishing rod every year. And part of what we want to do is you've got to make the Africa Nations League at the minimum as exciting and better still, even more exciting than the AFCON. And the judge of that is not the president of CAF, it's not CAF, it's the fans. It's you in the media. And we have to listen to you. Whether we agree or disagree is irrelevant. And sometimes what's even more important is when you criticize us. It's a learning opportunity. So we currently pay 10 million, and I shouldn't say this, so if you agree, if you promise not to write about it, and keep it to yourself. I'll say it quickly. My aim is to get 10 million first prize for the Africa Nations League. Where am I going to get the money from? I'll find it. So if I've got 10 million there, and make sure that the Africa Nation League competes in every sense with the AFCON. But of course, the AFCON, there's a sentimental. It's like this this grandmother who brought you up when your mother was working. She's got a special place in your heart and always will have a special place in your heart. But you can't tell a grandma, go to work in a Toyota. I love Toyotas. When you can take her to work in a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz. I mean, whatever nice car. We have to improve all the time, become better, more competitive. And we have to listen to our sponsors. And of course, we've got to listen to our fans. And we also have to listen to the media. So I'm excited. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Part of my job is, when I'm not president of CAF, because every leader, there's a time to go and there's a time to leave. So part of my job is the president who takes over from me must find a foundation and the leadership where they can continue the good work that we've done together. No organization succeeds because of an individual or because of a president. It doesn't exist. We've got 80,000 employees in the mining companies where we are, either that we have formed as a family or where we are the biggest shareholder. 80,000 employees every day go to work. And we succeed not because of me, but because of all of these people. And we've got to look after them, motivate them. And there's another 33,000 in the financial services companies where we are. So in everything we do, we succeed because of the people we have the privilege to work with. And I'm very honored that, you know, I've had the privilege to work with some good people. And as I said, my job is to make sure that, a few years down the line when I'm not president of CAF and I look at the leadership, and they should say, together we've laid a good foundation, and they must continue. Because I think a lot of the successes of what we are doing, the results will be seen a few years down the line. So have I forgotten anything?
May I, President?
Just remind me quickly.
100%, President. I mean, you spoke about the results here when you took over AFCON, making $5 million today, sitting at revenues of $200 million. And for the first time, you've got ticketing revenue. I mean, when you came in from zero today, $55 million US dollars on revenue, ticketing alone.
Well, the question is, where's all that money going? And that money has to go to where it's supposed to go. Young boys and girls, academies. We donated $10 million from the Motsepe Foundation for schools football in Africa. Get schools football going. There's about 100,000 schools that participate. We're going to have millions of young Africans playing in these competitions. So, and of course, ethics, governance, integrity. I have to make sure that the sponsors are convinced that every cent that this organization makes goes where it's supposed to go. Our member associations. And of course, and we have to stop employing people at CAF who are there because it's a job. They must be there because they are well paid, well appreciated, and we want the best and the smartest. And I'm always disappointed when an employee comes and says, "I enjoy my job, but I was offered more money by your competition." So. I'm also proud that we've significantly increased the salaries of the staff and there's a commitment to do more. I'm going to repeat the prize money. Of course, sir, one quick issue. Women's football, very, very important. You know, I can say all the wonderful things. It really means nothing if on the ground there isn't quantifiable, assessable success. We've spent a lot of money on women's football. It's coming up. I'm so proud. And it'll keep growing. So I just want to conclude by saying that I want to thank the media. Have I forgotten anything?
No,
President. I haven't. President, have I forgotten anything?
No.
General Secretary?
President, no.
Madame Bestin? Okay. So as I said, part of this thing is to give for us an opportunity for you to ask whatever question you may want to ask. And we will see you next year in Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda. And let me say this. We have a duty. My duty is to Africa. It starts there. But my second duty is I can only promote Africa if in those areas where we have to work together with the world, with Europe, with America, with Asia, with South America. In those areas, we have to work together. The success of football in Europe is good. I want Europe, I want America, I want Asia. I want their football in those countries to keep growing and keep succeeding. And I'm clear that in Africa, we are going to keep growing and keep succeeding. So I just want to, in conclusion, say once more, huge gratitude to the people of Morocco. Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup to the people of Morocco. This is the spirit of Africa. Bring us all together. They took me to a university here in Morocco. 48 African countries have got students at that university. Beautiful. Beautiful. 88 countries from worldwide. So there's another 40 countries that have got students. We are part of a world where we have to work together. Our growth is the growth of all of us together. And then there's something else which might come back later. And of course, I want to thank the government. And as I said, thank His Majesty, King Mohammed VI. May God assist him and thank the government and thank our brother Fauzi. There's one other point that they reminded me about. It just slipped my mind. Hopefully it'll come back when we take all the questions. Okay. So just one final thing. I hope we've tried to look well after the media. We're not doing you a favor when we treat you with respect and with the dignity you deserve. It's our duty. And I want to thank you for, there's 190 countries, 190. The official number is 180, but we are told that there's 10 others where they've got access in ways that they only know how, that have been watching African football. We're enormously grateful, and we're grateful for you because you've carried some of that, and it's to a large extent because of you. And thank you for being with us, and if there are ways that we can make your stay with us better, please let us know. Because, you know, we will be together next year, we'll be together during the year, and you've got a job to do, we have a job to do. We have a duty to try and help you in executing your job. It's good for us. We're not doing you a favor. Okay, are we ready for questions now?
Yes, President, just for the benefit of media, just to repeat those financial figures that revenue.
Okay, so that was his sort of opening statement there, which we'll comment on in just a second. As you heard, he opened the floor for questions. Now, here was an engagement he had with one of the reporters where things got, let's say things got interesting. Let's take a listen.
The president of CAF, it is the 54 nations in Africa who know football, I would say with all humility, much better than those who are not in the day-to-day involvement in the challenges about the infrastructure, the stadiums, and the money and that we need to pay for the players. So So we are absolutely satisfied. The way you are wrong, absolutely wrong. Your facts are incorrect. Now just keep quiet now. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. I ask you a question and I kept quiet, so don't interrupt me. So what I'm saying to you is where you are absolutely wrong is the revenue of the AFCON is significantly less than the revenue that we have implemented for the African Nations League. And we will be launching it in the next few years. So we are absolutely convinced that we are not going to adhere to a competition simply because it has been there for the past few years. And where you are also talking absolute nonsense is to say to me that we will run Africa for Europe as a rubbish. It's nonsense. You're insulting us. We run Africa for Africa. And our job is to listen to people like yourself and various others. And whether you're objective or not is irrelevant. But when you've got 54 nations in Africa saying that the African Nations League is world class, it doesn't matter how you look at African football. When I became president, member associations were getting 200,000. In fact, that's more like 150. We've increased it to 200. They're getting 400,000 now. And we have to take decisions that, you know, from a populist perspective, may be regarded as being unpopular. But from a beneficial perspective, what does this mean for African football? Every single one of our 54 presidents say this is the best thing that has happened. And I'm confident over the years, the results of what we're doing will speak for themselves. Any other questions?
Yes, there was Mr. Motsepe having a feisty encounter with one of the journalists who was of the opinion that these new changes, you know, were brought onto him by Europe and so on and so on. But overall, as Motsepe stated, since he's taken over African football, I mean, it's undoubted what he's done for African football. Like you said, he's almost tripled the prize money from when he started. To my surprise, even the tournament wasn't making money from things like ticket revenue and so on. He said this is the first, if I'm not mistaken, what he just said, it's the first tournament where they're actually generating money. So the stewardship of Mr. Motsepe cannot be questioned. I mean, like I said, that $10 million donation to the African Schools Tournament, one of the tournaments which I had the pleasure of covering, so I saw where this money went to. And he's very much about developing African football for all African countries, not just the existing powerhouses. You know, there's people, I saw comments of people saying, actually, let's listen to this one about the East Africa tournament that's going to take place in 2027. That's in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. There was a question about that, which further goes to Motsepe's point about the need to use the game of football to develop the continent in footballing areas, but non-footballing areas as well. Let's take a listen.
That's my question. It's a good question. And I think part of being a leader is to deal with difficult, unpleasant decisions which we have to take, which are right and which are good for football. But it's more important that we've got to explain them. We've got to take people to come with us. And we are convinced over time they will indeed see that the decisions we're taking. Now, you know, I have a duty to develop football all over Africa. I can't have competitions only in those four countries where you've got the infrastructure. You've got to create opportunities for the other countries to build infrastructure at the level, World Cup level that you want them, and develop football in those countries as well. I'm confident
that the AFCON in Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda will be enormously successful. Will there be challenges like the World Cup Qatar? You know, we are going now to Canada, America, and Mexico. There are going to be challenges. But I was insisting that the time takes place in those countries, even though they were not ready. I was convinced that it would help us enormously.
So basically what he said is everyone needs a chance to host the African Cup of Nations. And you didn't hear it in the clip, but this journalist said that some of those East African countries don't have roads and it can take you 2 days from one country to another, as the journalist claims. And Motsepe basically said, brother, please, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So the AFCON will conclude tonight. Call in. Let me know. Who do you think is going to win the 2025 African Cup of Nations between Morocco and Senegal before it goes over from North to East Africa in the 2027 one, where Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania will be the hosts? Hopefully the Brave Warriors will be part of that one. Would be great. But on the other side of this, we will get into the weeds, into the details of our topic today, which is, will Namibia be able to co-host the African Cup of Nations? We'll get into that right after this.
Win big, win now with PremierBet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at PremierBet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Monopareka onga tuya landura ko pamwe na Paratus. Die to monomite o kuchapula emangulo ko le data. Die na omangabeko. Koshi maliwa shike shire dola na mibio bafele ya tano. O milongo winanano. O unomite yo wa umafiku elio milongo natu ule wo shinano. Che mega bit onlongo na nanomo sekonde. Kashi ni wapa hena mangabeko. Mule wa mwedi au she. O mlo shike una okufuta e gigs. Genge o unomite yo kudimona pa hena omangabeko. Navali otoduro kuwa spota. No kutopo elafana yo pamwe. Nova pepibona ave gashi wahara download oka epa ketu ile utarele posita ikeshe sho parates boy pinave ema ngono malandura fano odo dino kulandura power your next chat stream call with parates
always parates. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Ono ngeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumuna oijabo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at PremierBet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. If you are just now tuning in today, we're talking about Namibia's ability to co-host the African Cup of Nations. Now, where does this question come from? This question comes from none other than, or comes from a statement from none other than South Africa's Minister of Sport, that is Gayton McKenzie, who had this to say, or who revealed this over the weekend. Let's take a listen.
The time has come when we as South Africans rise, and I can tell you with breaking news, unapologetically, South Africa will be South Africa, will be putting a bid for the 2028 African Cup of Nations. And we will invite countries like Namibia, countries like Botswana, but it's a South African bit. But because we are neighborly, we want to say to them, form part of our bit. And I can tell you the first time ever that I'm mentioning it, that South Africa will be hosting the 2028 African Cup of Nations. We will be putting in our bid before the date closes on the 1st of February.
Wow. Minister, it's been a while since the region last hosted this AFCON, and I think by 2028 it will mark 15 years since Southern Africa has hosted this tournament. Why is it important to you? Because these questions have been asked. Why South Africa doesn't seem interested to host anymore?
Well, you know what? We are now under the GNU. And this government, I cannot tell you what happened previously, but this government is very intentional about bringing the shine back to South Africa. I mean, Central Africa has hosted. All the different regions in Africa has hosted. If we miss this one, 2028, and that's what people must understand, it will be 2 decades of no football or no African Cup of Nations in Southern Africa. How can that be? It cannot be.
That's Minister of Sport over in South Africa, Gaita McKenzie, and I agree with him. How can it be? But anyways, so he revealed or announced that South Africa is planning to submit a bid to host the 2028 African Cup of Nations in tandem, like he said, with nations such as Namibia and Botswana. He said he will invite them, but it will be a South African bid. So meaning that majority of the matches will be played in South Africa as expected, of course. Southern Africa actually has only hosted 3 African Cup of Nations tournaments ever, with the first one being in 1996, which South Africa won, the second one being in Angola, 2010, and the last one that Southern Africa hosted was again in South Africa in 2013. And this will also be the last, this 2028 one will be the last African Cup of Nations under the current schedule format, where it takes place every 2 years. After this, it will take place every 4 years, like the Euros, like the World Cup, which was announced by CAF President Patrice Motsepe in tandem with some of the African Nations League stuff that he was talking about just now. And like Gaten talked about, if it doesn't happen now in 2028, they'll have to wait until 2032 to be able to host it again. Now, here's where things get pretty interesting and quite funny, actually, if you ask me. Because back in 2023, 3 years ago now, 2-3 years ago now, Namibia were going to launch a bid to host the 2027 African Cup of Nations, the one that is now going to be hosted by Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, right? And in April 2023, the Minister of Sport and Youth in Botswana issued a statement to say that Namibia had terminated the joint bid after the Namibian government failed to approve the budget bid cost according to the consultant company. And this is not something I'm making up. This is a quote directly from supersport.com for those that don't believe. And it, furthermore on this, it came out last year. It was revealed that Botswana spent 86 million Namibian dollars on this now reference bid cost, the bid book, which many believe, and I believe there was an investigation launched as well. I'm not too sure of the results of this investigation, but many believe that this was an act of corruption on behalf of now the Botswana government. Not only because of the exorbitant amount, like 86 million for a bid book, it's quite high, no matter how you spin it, right? But what added salt onto the wound is that the winning bid, the one that went to Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, only cost them around 10 million Namibian dollars. So many are asking, what exactly was that other money for, right? And earlier last year, the then executive director of the Ministry of Sports, Youth, and National Service, Mr. Bumba Haitengela, explained that Namibia had no choice but to withdraw due to unmanageable cost escalations. Initially, Namibia's share of the bid operational costs was supposed to be 7.6 million Namibian dollars, but this later skyrocketed to 46 million Namibian dollars, an amount the government could not commit to without cabinet and Ministry of Finance approval. Right? And then at the time, the Minister of Sport, that was Ms. Agnes Chongarero, in her, you know, she had to write the official letter that that Namibia is withdrawing. She even put that drought was one of the reasons why Namibia could not host or could not form part of this joint bid that we now know went to Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. Now, these reasons given by the executive director and the minister, for all we know, might have been 100% factual, 100% what was happening at the time, and maybe a large portion of why they had to withdraw from this, right? On paper, at least, right? But if we just put that aside, let's say that wasn't going to be an issue in this bid. Where exactly were these matches going to take place is something that I initially asked myself, or instantly asked myself, when I heard about this bid in 2023. Which facilities exactly were we supposed to host these matches if this bid was to be successful? I mean, we all know Independence Stadium hasn't met the required standards since at least 2021. Sam Nyoma, who knows how long that's been, has been out of order. It's been much longer than 2021. We know that for sure. So again, where were these matches going to take place? This was in 2023 now, right? This was in 2023 for a tournament that was going to take place 4 years later. That question remained. And now in 2026, there's talk of us joining a bid for a tournament that's going to happen about 2 or 3 years from now. And so in that time between 2023 and now, 2026, the stadium situation hasn't changed in the slightest. Barring, except for, you know, announcements about whoever contractor was appointed, about whatever funds were allocated. That's basically the only thing that has changed since then and today on 18 January 2026. All that's changed is announcements about how we're going to fix the stadiums, but nothing has actually happened since, right? So even back then, I didn't understand the thought process in joining such a bid. Of course, no one would ever say that they don't want to have the African Cup of Nations in their country, especially Namibia. We all know how much Namibians love football. I know from you guys call in. Every time you ask a question, it's 9 times out of 10, it's about football. So we all wanted to be here, but at the same time, let's be realistic with the situation on the ground in terms of, these stadiums. And so I don't know when Gayton was talking to the media, that was to SABC. I don't know whether he knew it or not. With that statement, he put, I believe, serious pressure on our government or whoever is in charge of putting these facilities in place, which is the government, to have the stadiums ready for this bid. Because we do not want, or let me say, we should not want to be in another situation where we have to come out a few months later and say Namibia is withdrawing from the bid because of A, B, and C. It will not look good on us as a nation. And if you saw our social media post for the Eagle Sports Zone, we did ask you guys to give us your opinions on if you think Namibia will be ready. And if I put it frankly, again, I'll preface it with, I want Namibia to be ready. In a perfect world, the stadiums should be done tomorrow. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But we asked the question on social media, will or do you think, you guys listening, do you think Namibia will be ready? You're welcome to chime in now, but we asked, We ask you guys to send us your thoughts. If you'd like to chime in now, 0832-888-401. But we got a few, several responses. Tangeni told us, yes, we are ready. He says we're ready right now. Yesu had this to say. He said, what a good opportunity. We only need to renovate two stadiums, Independence Stadium and Sam Nyoma Stadium. I like how he said only. An optimistic young man, yes, he is. So we only need to operate two stadiums, Independence Stadium and Sam Nyoma Stadium. Then we're good to go because there's only 1 year to 2028. I think he meant two. But I think we can be ready if we want to improve our soccer stadium in Namibia. It'll be a good opportunity. Let's give a tender to those Chinese and those qualified technicians from South Africa. Then we are good to go. NFA must start with preparations while it is early. And then we had Petrus came through and said, Namibia must be ready. And on another comment we got that I found quite funny came from Marco Ronalia Sitali. She said, when we asked, will Namibia be ready? She said, Botswana can answer that question for us. And then another listener came through, and Ndangi Shikongo came through and said, the question is, does Namibia even have one stadium? And then lastly, the last comment I'll read is from Ezekiel Michael, who said, don't underestimate the country. Maybe there will be different roles that the country plays in the hosting plans. You can't fail to upgrade at least two stadiums to international level. I agree, Ezekiel. This can fast track infrastructure development and a quick return on investment, even if it doesn't fully recover the cost. Something can be recovered. Even the future use of infrastructure can bring in more income. That's what some of our listeners had to say when this question came out. Will Namibia be ready? So the reason I say Gayton, whether he knew it or not, put pressure on our government is because the glaring reason one is they'll have to deliver stadiums in time for this to be a successful bid. And another reason it puts pressure on the government is because of I don't know if you guys still remember this document. This large, large document. How many pages is it? The 67-page document that came out after the elections, after the presidential elections, called the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, right? Again, this is one of those situations where things like this come out. There was a lot of hype around it for a week or so, and then people just forgot. But for as long as the Eagle Sports Zone exists, we will not forget this document. Why? Because of what I'm about to tell you. Because in this document is things that the government said that they will at least attempt to achieve during the time that this administration is in office. But before I get into the document, let's take a listen to what the caller has to say. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my brother. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm fine, man.
Where are you calling us from today?
From Windhoek.
From Windhoek. What do you have to share with us from Windhoek?
Yeah, I just want to say something on the question you're asking about if Namibia can be ready. Right?
Yeah.
I think we can. If the willing is there,
okay.
When it comes to political willing, I think we can do it.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think
it?
You think the independent stadium will be ready by then?
Yeah, I think if we are a capable leader,
mm-hmm.
who really need to push those companies to do the best job, I think we can do it.
Yeah.
In short time.
No, let's see.
Yeah, because the way I'm saying so, even like candy like Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Remember that Burkina Faso was one of the like Namibia
mm-hmm.
where they used even to use the neighbor when they are playing their qualification.
Mm-hmm.
But now Burkina Faso is having like a 5-4 stadium.
Yeah.
Proper one. With the FIFA approval.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, not even a single one, my friend. Then wondering what is going on.
Yeah.
And I see even the community themselves, they stand up. If you can see that one from, I think it's in Oshana.
Mm-hmm.
The stadium which is built by the community themselves.
Yeah.
It's a proper. I'm telling you, I think even the NFA, they can host their what? Their soccer match.
They can host their league matches there.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of every time Churachuri is traveling long distance to go to Shakati, Mbando.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think really, and it's a hard time, I think, Wangwena, to pull off their socks.
Yeah.
You can't tell me, Churachuri, how many years now Churachuri playing the Premier League? But they are still struggling to just to have a stadium in Wangwena.
Yeah.
No, I think sometimes it's a leadership which we are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Not really that the resources are not there.
No.
The resources are there because if you put the people who are operating business in the community,
yeah,
two or three, then you tell them that this is what we need and this is what the results you are going to get when you are hosting a match in Chula Chula playing home game.
Yeah.
Because people who are having accommodation, they accommodate the opponent of Chula Chula.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we are selling food, they're able to sell their stadium. So many people are benefiting out of it, but I don't know if Elana City are thinking of this outside of the court.
Yeah.
Or they are just doing, because I play in that stadium, a friend of Elana City. And they're wondering why they need to construct small stadium like that instead of upgrading Oponofi stadium. Something really, I think we are lacking, man. And then really, I don't know who were even advising those people.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO and the others and the mayors. Serious, we are losing a lot. It's the same with our national team. Just imagine how much money we are spending in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we are going, we have a camp, a province qualifying something. We have to go and prepare for 2 weeks. We are in South Africa. We are talking about people being hosted by any accommodation,
mm-hmm.
hotel, are benefiting out of South Africa. And now, even all our opponents also, they are, no, it's really, we are losing a lot.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, really, we need to pull ourselves out, my friend.
Who do you think is going to win AFCON tonight?
With Senegal, my friend.
Yeah, with Senegal.
I'm just with Senegal. Not really like it because of maybe late.
Yeah.
Not really. But I think I just want Senegal to take it because I think it will be the last match for money.
Yeah.
I mean, last tournament for money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want them to win it.
Yeah, no, it will be great if they could win one more for money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're hoping when we are going to watch.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the legal ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
my brother.
Thank you for coming through.
Okay, cheers.
Yes, that was a caller voicing his opinion on Namibia's ability to co-host. He thinks we will be ready. I like the optimism. Do chime in at 083-288-401, and that's 083-288-401. If you would like to tell me if you think Namibia will be ready to co-host the African Cup of Nations alongside our brothers in the South, South Africa, and our close brothers east of the border, Botswana. Now, where was I before the caller came through? Oh, I was talking about the SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan and why Gayton's comments, or why his headline making stories put some pressure now on the Namibian government. Because now the clock is ticking. And speaking of a ticking clock, lucky for us, the government was nice enough to release this document called the SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, which has rigid timelines about some of the things that they want to achieve. Well, now we're going to focus on the sports section. If you aren't familiar with this document, it has information, plans, timelines, deadlines, and so on about the seven different priority areas of the new administration. But now we're focusing on the sport one, which is ranked second. Okay. So one of the objectives that the administration laid out in the, when it comes to sport, is to develop essential sports infrastructure across Namibia, basic sports facilities in all constituencies, and CAF stadiums to support the growth and professionalization of sport. Remember when the elections were happening, the word professionalization of sport was, everyone all of a sudden knew what professionalization of sport meant. Not, but I haven't heard talk about it really since. But one of the initiatives under this objective, right, is one of the key results, excuse me, not initiatives. One of the key results is stadiums that meet CAF Category 2 and 3 standards to be completed. One of the initiatives is to have CAF Category 2 stadiums in 14 regions. So one in each region. They want to have at least one CAF Category 2 facility, or stadium rather. And in a moment, we'll talk about exactly what does CAF Category 2 and 3 mean. Actually, we'll go through all the CAF categories so you guys can understand what some of these terminologies mean. Right? When we say a stadium doesn't mean CAF Category 2 or 3 accreditation. But the budget that the administration laid out for this is 460 million Namibian dollars per annum for Category 2 stadiums. That gives a total of 2.3 billion Namibian dollars, and then 755 million per annum for Category 3 stadiums, for five Category 3 stadiums. So Category 3 stadium, in short, but we'll get into details in just a few minutes. In short, the Category 3 stadium is the stadium that you need to host an African Cup of Nations tournament. In other words, a serious stadium, which would have been Independence Stadium or Sam Nujoma. Now, what I want to zero in here, the main reason I'm bringing this up is the timelines that the administration proposed, or at least planned, when they put this document together. And why am I talking about the timeline? Is because of what Gayton said. They want Namibia to be part, or they're at least going to send the invite. Whether Namibia accepts it or not, that's another story. But they want to at least send the invite for Namibia to be part of this joint bid. So the timeline when it comes to Category 3 stadiums is that by April 2026, which is basically 3 months from now, it says here, and I'm not making this up, it says here, by April 2026, they want to begin construction of five Category 3 stadiums. So if we were to hold the administration to their word is that by April 2026, 3 months from now, they want to begin construction of five Category 3 stadiums. Construction, mind you. And we have two existing facilities who were supposed to be undergoing renovation for like 5 years now. But that's aside. We're gonna remain optimistic. I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer. By March 2027, one stadium must be completed. By March 2028, another stadium should be completed. March 2029, another stadium should be completed. And by March 2030, one more stadium should be completed. So at least if we're going by this timeline that was given to us by the administration, we should have at least one stadium, more than likely being Independence Stadium or Sam Nujoma Stadium, should be complete by March 2027. So a little over a year from now. Let's call it 14 months from now. The Independence Stadium should be complete. Another interesting part of this timeline, which we now know didn't happen, is that they wanted by the fourth quarter of 2024. So between, let's call it October and December of, or 2025, excuse me, between September and December of 2025, it says that the construction on all five stadiums should have begun by then. And between the first quarter of 2026 and the fourth quarter of 2029 should be ongoing construction. And by the fourth quarter of 2030, our beautiful vision 2030, by then all five stadiums should be complete. That's what the administration put forward to the public when it comes now to CAF Category 3 stadiums. Whether that's going to happen or not, we'll let time be the judge of this proposed timeline. Now, don't forget, you can still call in. We have around 30 minutes left in the program. The number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. 2025 African Cup of Nations taking place tonight. Call in. Let me know, who do you think is going to win? Will it be the Lions of Senegal? Or will it be the new powerhouse on the continent in football? That is the Moroccans. Will they add to their 1976 title? Or will Senegal add to their 2021 title and cement their place as modern day giants? We'll get into all of this right after this.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia, with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 right now today to create your Premier Bet account. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Where are you calling us from?
I am calling from Ochiwarongo.
From Ochiwarongo. What would you like to chime in with today, good sir?
I would just like to find out what is the question of the day today.
Today's trivia question is, can you tell me how many editions of the African Cup of Nations have they been, including this one? And bonus points if you can tell me the year that the very first edition took place. Let's see your football knowledge, my friend.
I would say there have been 22.
22?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. It's, I want to say it's close, but it's almost there, but not quite there.
Okay.
Can you maybe guess what year the first one took place as well?
1986.
No, by then there had been many editions already. It's before that.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Yes, that was a caller from Ochiwarongo trying to give us the answer to the trivia question of the day. How many African Cup of Nations tournaments have they been, including this one? And can you tell me when did the very first AFCON take place? A hint I can give you was before Namibia's independence. And it was before, I think the caller said 1986. Anyways, we're going to take a short musical break, and then we're going to dive into what the CAF category, stadium categories mean. Because a lot of us, I don't think, know exactly what is meant by a category 3 stadium or a category 4 stadium or a category 2 stadium. So we're going to take a short break. Stay with us here on the Eagle Sports Zone. We will be right back after these sweet, wonderful sounds from none other than Mr. Bob Marley.
Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 now to create your PremierBet account and win big. If you haven't already, create your PremierBet account and use the final. The AFCON final between Morocco and Senegal to lessen your January worries. Maybe PremierBet will be able to help you lessen your January worries. Now, as we get to the final stretch of the show, I want to talk about the CAF categories, stadium categories, because I think a lot of us aren't too sure exactly what do these mean. What does it mean when it says, when the headline says, so-and-so stadium doesn't meet CAF standards, doesn't meet CAF Category 2 standards, doesn't meet CAF Category 3 standards? Okay? So we'll start with...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Had a slight technical glitch, but we are back live. So, let's talk about the CAF categories. There's categories 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are the four categories that make up this criterion, right? So, first, I'm going to start with the tournaments that are allowed to be hosted in each of the categories. So you have category 1. A category 1 stadium, you're allowed to host the women's youth FIFA competitions, just the qualifiers, and you're allowed to host the qualifiers of the Women's Champions League. Okay? That's what a CAF category 1 CAF category 1 stadium allows you to host. And actually I'll do it in tandem with the size in terms of seating capacity. I just need to make sure. Okay, we'll get onto that in a second. Let's just stick to the stadiums for now while we try to sort out the issue we're having here. So let's start again. CAF category 1 stadium. You can host a women's youth FIFA competitions, the qualifiers of that, and you can host the qualifiers of the Women's Champions League. Category 2, right? For that, you can host the qualifiers only of the Women's African Cup of Nations. You can only host the qualifiers only of the men's under 17, under 20, and under 23 African Cup of Nations. You can host the AFCON tournament, okay, of the men's under 17, under 20, and under 23 African Cup of Nations. You can host the preliminary rounds of the Men's Champions League, and you can host the preliminary rounds of the Men's Confederation Cup. That's what category 2 allows you to do. Now, CAF category 3. This allows you to host the group stage and quarterfinals of the Men's Champions League. It allows you to host the group stage and quarterfinals of the Men's Confederation Cup. It allows you to host the qualifiers, only the qualifiers of the Men's African Cup of Nations or the FIFA World Cup. And it allows you to host the qualifiers of the Men's, of the CHAN, right? The African Nation Champions. And you can host the tournament, the final tournament of the Women's African Cup of Nations. And you can host the Women's Champions League. You can host the finals of that. Okay. And just for reference, so you guys don't think I'm making things up. This comes from the CAF Stadium regulations. This is of the year 2022. That's the most up-to-date one I could find. So unless things have changed since then, these are the CAF rules. And unless they bend rules, you know, per tournament and whatnot, these are the rules as per CAF, as per an official document of CAF, the body that governs African football. So then there's category four. This allows you to host the CAF Super Cup. It allows you to host the African Cup of Nations, the tournament of which there's a final tonight. The tournament which Gaetan McKenzie says Namibia is gonna, South Africa is gonna co-host with Namibia and Botswana. The final tournament, African Cup of Nations. There's the CHAN. You can host the tournament of the CHAN. You can host the Men's Champions League semi-final and final, and you can host the Men's Confederation Cup semi-final and final, and other top-tier competitions as defined by CAF. Again, these categories and restrictions I'm reading out are per an official CAF document, right? So basically, I read that out to say, again, unless things have changed or unless things changed from tournament to tournament, you need a CAF Category 4 stadium to host an African Cup of Nations match or tournament in particular in your nation or in your stadium. So again, unless things have changed, we need to build a Category 4 stadium. Now let's talk about some of the things that a Category 4 stadium would consist of. Okay? We'll start with, let's start with the capacity. Okay? Some of the requirements. Again, per the CAF document, what these categories mean. A Category 1 stadium should be able to hold up to 5,000 supporters. A Category 2 stadium should be able to hold up to 10,000 supporters. So our government wants to build 14 stadiums that hold up to 10,000 supporters around the country, one in each region that hold up to 10,000 supporters. They want 14 of those. Then our government wants to build 5 Category 3 stadiums. These hold up to 30,000 supporters. Then there's Category 4, which is above 30,000 supporters. We're talking about stadium capacity now. Okay? And again, it's, at least according to this document, it's only Category 4 that allows you to host African Cup of Nations. So it begs the question. Again, perhaps I'm out of the loop that CAF makes special regulations. Maybe they say if you at least have Category 3, we make a special provision, you know, in places like, not too sure the stadium capacities of that are available in Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya. And maybe some of the other countries that have hosted AFCON, you know, like the one in Equatorial Guinea and so on. I'm actually not 100% sure if those met Category 4 standards. Because I do remember some AFCON matches taking place in stadiums that hold like 30,000 seats. So perhaps CAF makes special provisions. But as per this document, these are the requirements. And as I read out earlier, the government has ambitions to build Category 3 stadiums, 5 of them. So not Category 4. So perhaps they know about this this provision that to my knowledge, hasn't been communicated officially regarding now Category 3 and 4 stadiums. But nonetheless, that's what Category 1 to 4 means when it comes to CAF stadiums. Another stipulation, for example, that is required only for Category 4 stadiums, and that is at least one room equipped with desks, power supply, printer, phone/internet connections, and a television must be provided for media representatives. Categories 1 to 3, you're not required to have that to meet those certifications. But to meet Category 4 requirements, your stadium must have that. Another one media related is the Media Tribune should be accessible directly from the media center. The flash interview position, mixed zone, and the press conference room. Another one, a key one to this is seating, right? Category 3 stadiums and Category 4 stadiums, the spectator seats have to be fixed individual seats. So like, you know how at Independence Stadium, it's only the one side of the stadium has actual fixed seats, those orange seats. The rest of the stadium is slabs of concrete. For a stadium to meet Category 3 and 4, you have to have fixed seats. Every seat has to be a fixed seat. It cannot be areas of slabbed concrete. And they say here, in case of fixed individual seats, they must be individually fixed to the floor, separated from one another, shaped, numbered, made of an unbreakable and non-flammable material, and have a backrest of a minimum height of 30 centimeters when measured from the seats. The use of temporary stands is prohibited for both Category 3 and 4 stadiums, and the stadium must be equipped with refreshment and catering facilities for all spectators in every sector of the stadium. As we know, our stadiums right now, I mean, the Independence Stadium kind of has one on the one side that has the chairs. But other than that, our refreshment and catering facilities are usually like within the grounds of the stadium. So like whether directly outside the stadium or right before you climb up to get your seats, that's normally where people get their refreshments and so on at our existing stadiums. Let's look for one more. Let me give you one more before I sign off today. One more stipulation that applies to only Category 3 or 4 stadiums, which is what will be essential for our stadiums to have if we're going to follow through or if we're going to join Brother Gayton McKenzie in South Africa's bid to host the African Cup of Nations and bring AFCON to the SADC region. Let's take this one, which has to do with the screen in the stadium. This is a requirement that's only needed for Category 3 and 4, a giant screen that provides optimal viewing for all spectators and in a location which provides no risk to the spectators. The giant screen is part of the PA system and shall be used to deliver messages or public announcements in case of emergency. You know, the Independence Stadium has that infamous interpretation of a giant screen. And I say infamous because of the money that was allegedly appointed to a particular company to put up and operate the stadium, this screen that we, as we all well know, doesn't work today. So that will be a big key portion of if Independence Stadium, Sam Nyoma Stadium will be ready to host Brother Gayton McKenzie in this bid to host the 2025 African Cup of Nations. And so Before I sign off, do remember that the Villager e-paper will be published tomorrow morning. So if you aren't a subscriber yet, fear not. All you have to do is send a WhatsApp message and save the following number as a contact. Make sure it is in your contact. Save it as the Villager. Save it as Eagle FM. Whatever you want to save it as. It's important that you save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you get the Villager delivered straight to your inbox bright and early in the morning before you wake up. It's already there for your viewing pleasure. And so if you aren't subscribed already, just send us a WhatsApp message at 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Tell us you want to become a subscriber. And if you'd like to receive it via email as well, include your email address as well and you'll be able to receive it via email. It is also published on all our social media channels. That includes our WhatsApp channel. If you'd like a link to the WhatsApp channel, hit up our WhatsApp line, which is 081-200-4144. And make sure you become an active reader of the Villager for your latest and greatest in business, economics, policy-related, agricultural news. Sometimes there's some good sport articles from yours truly in there as well. So become a smarter citizen. One, by downloading the Eagle FM mobile application. Like I said, you'll have access to all kinds of great documents that I'm sure you've never seen before. Will make you a smarter citizen of the world. You'll be able to listen to the Eagle FM programming wherever you are in the world whilst you're reading such great documents, you know, whilst you're reading the global economic report, whilst you're reading global inflation reports, whilst you're reading Africa's trade index, things like that, you know, things that will make you a smarter person. And so this has been another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. We will be back same time, same place next Sunday, live from Windhoek from 6 to 8 p.m. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Make sure to watch the Africa Cup of Nations final tonight between Senegal and Morocco. And once again, this has been the Eagle Sports Zone brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia 264 right now at premierbet.com.na to create your Premier Bet account. Take advantage of some of the sign up bonuses that you will be able to access there, up to 200% in signing bonuses. That is it for me this evening. I'm your host Hendy, and I'll see you same time, same place next Sunday.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia 264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.